Chairman Lee McInerney is calling the first witness.
The one for the record.
This one, huh?
Yes.
If I want to be heard, I talk there.
We'd like you on the record. Present your name and occupation.
Okay, my name is Pat Day. I'm a third-generation Valdezan and a third-generation commercial fisherman. I just wanted to say I appreciate you folks spending the time and the hard work you are. And after seeing you here this afternoon and again here tonight, I'm sure it's a difficult task. One of my concerns and basic goals that when the next generation inherits this area, including the city of Valdez, that we have protected the environment and have planned economic possibilities for their use. Along these lines, it is important that Valdez strives to achieve a diversified economic development. That is not to simply rely on oil or fish or tourism. It is my belief that the city of Valdez has used its tax base to do just this. To emphasize, I would like to take a few minutes and speak of Valdez's recent history. Just 25 years ago, prior to the 1964 earthquake, I recall a Valdez with several canneries, three ocean-going docks, a developing tourist industry, an oil tank farm, and a statewide oil distribution operation. I can recall growing up to noon whistles of the canneries. I can remember five ships being tied to the Valdez Dock Company's facilities. I can recall the busy sounds of the forklifts getting ready to move the freight inland. We all recall the 1964 earthquake, which destroyed all this. Unlike other Alaskan cities, the U.S. Corps of Engineers provided Valdez with a bulldozer and leveled the town to rubble. This was a trying time for Valdez, but the citizens took the challenge and developed a new town across the tide flats. While it is true that the federal government provided the basic government facilities as the town began to rebuild, it was quite difficult for the private sector to regain momentum. There were 5 years of very difficult and trying times. Valdez citizens persisted. In 1969, when the Alyeska's Pipeline Service Company announced that they would build a terminal in Port Valdez, this was a needed light at the end of the tunnel for debt-burdened citizens who had moved from the old town. It was also a trying time for the city, who had to meet the needs of pipeline construction with very little tax base. The city did meet these needs, provided schools, sewer systems, fire and police protection, and other services. As the pipeline terminal took shape and was completed, a tax base to provide future services required of the growing population, and an oil terminal of this magnitude developed. Also during the following years, the city was able to replace many of the facilities that were lost in the earthquake, including the docks, sewer systems, and other facilities. The city has worked hard at developing a diversified economy through these times and has promoted the entire state. Once the pipeline construction was underway, the state enacted an ad valorem tax bill in 1974 to allow the state to levy a 20-mil tax on the oil industry. I was privileged to be on the Valdez City Council at this time, and it devastated those of us who knew we must deal with the new costs of meeting greater demands in the city while being attacked by the state for our ability to levy real property taxes. At that time, as a city, we traveled to Juneau and were assured that this ad valorem tax bill would not infringe upon our right to tax the pipeline terminal and the pipeline within the city limits. We accepted this decision. And although it has been questioned several times through the years and taken to the Attorney General, Valdez's right to tax within its borders has been preserved. Once again, this basic right is being questioned. Now, 25 years after the 64 earthquake and 20 years after the Alyeska terminal location decision, Valdez is back on its feet. It has a diversified economy that it had in 1964, and until the March 24th oil spill, we were in line for the future. Valdez today has two cold storage plants, a salmon cannery, three docks capable of providing berthing for ocean-going vessels, and a stable and developing tourist industry. Over this 25-year period of development, from the day all the docks were destroyed, much of Valdez's transportation and freight industry moved elsewhere, as well as the commercial fishing fleet. We find today that the fishing fleet is returning in numbers, and the city is working hard at pursuing Valdez's place in the transportation industry of Alaska. Overall, we must say that Valdez has spent its income well. It has replaced many of the destroyed facilities of the past and has met the needs and requirements of its citizens. Valdez has pursued the economic development within this region and throughout the state. Recently, the state developed an agreement with the Alyeska Pipeline Service Company to depreciate its real property within the city boundaries of Valdez. It is my understanding that this is called the TAPS agreement. I'm not fully aware of the workings of this document, but it is my belief that it allows the oil companies to depreciate real property. I believe this is an unfair advantage and is not allowed to other citizens within the city of Valdez. Also recently, the city felt that there were special needs related simply to the oil industry and moved to enact a tax zone to collect funds for these specifically, Recently, the city felt there were special needs related simply to the oil industry and moved to enact a tax zone to collect funds for those specifically involved to address these needs. I understand that the city saw needs for special services as well as special controls. My understanding is that there was a very real possibility that the city would have had ample boom in stock to contain the March 24th oil spill had it not been interrupted by the state and their questioning the city's ability or right to assess these taxes. In hindsight, it wouldn't have been a positive situation had Valdez been prepared and stockpiled enough oil boom to contain the tanker Exxon Valdez before it fouled the entire sound. I understand that now these monies have been collected and are in litigation because of the state's challenge to Valdez's intended use of the fund. In the event that happened during the oil spill on March 24th, it could be said that it is not the city's place to provide this backup or these services. However, from the aftermath, I must say that in the future, it is important that somebody provide these services. And certainly it appears that the city's efforts have been blocked. I hope that someone takes a serious look at this situation and either allows the city to proceed with its plans or that some method is made to safeguard the environment on which the future relies. Now we are faced with this new tragedy, the largest oil spill in U.S. history, right in our backyard, Prince William Sound. Prince William Sound has provided us with most all of our possibilities of economic development. The transportation industry, including oil, relies on Prince William Sound. The commercial and sports fishery rely on Prince William Sound. Tourism relies on Prince William Sound. And the now developing logging industry relies on Prince William Sound. Certainly, Valdez's future is challenged. Valdez's Valdez's ability to develop has been questioned several times over the use of the ad valorem tax and the TAPS agreement. It is important that Valdez's ability to tax within its boundaries not be threatened, and that this decision is a long-lasting decision. Valdez is a first-class city in the state of Alaska and strives to pay its own way. It has contributed to the development of the state and should be seen as an asset to those working towards a prosperous, developing Alaska. It is not fair nor reasonable that the state should continue to invoke questions or penetrate our reasonable right to tax. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Day. Is there anyone on the committee who would like to ask Mr. Day a question or any such thing? Thank you. Jason Wells?
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jason Wells. I'm the Executive Director of Valdez Fisheries Development Association. I was born in Fairbanks. I've lived in Valdez for 36 years, educated in Valdez school system, University of Alaska, and University of Washington. I've been a commercial fisherman since 1962. My purpose here this evening is to explain to you some of the advancements that have been made by the Valdez Fisheries Development Foundation, primarily with the use of the city's ability to tax. It was the foresight of the Valdez citizens that saw the potential to use the city's tax base to diversify the economy through salmon enhancement. The efforts of Valdez Fisheries were assisted by the city tax base to provide $300,000 over a three-year period. This funding was used to conduct economic analysis and design for the Solomon Gulch hatchery system. The city further loaned the Valdez Fisheries Development Association $187,000 to build a freshwater delivery system to the Solomon Gulch hatchery. The hatchery has since repaid that to the city. The city has also used its tax base to be a co-signator on a loan from the state to Valdez Fisheries Development. This was done before Valdez Fishery Development had credit established. The long-term results of the activity of the hatchery, which you viewed today, will produce $10.6 million in 1989 ex-vessel price to the commercial fishermen of Prince William Sound. This is not just to the Valdez residents, it's to the people in Cordova, Seward, Homer, all of those permit holders who fish in the Sound. When the hatchery is at full capacity, we expect to produce over $12 million annually to this fleet. This ex-vessel price will be multiplied about 1.4 to 2 times through processors and through tendermen and in the rest of the economy. Specifically for the Port of Valdez, in 1980 we had one defunct processing plant. By 1988, now we have 3 cold storage plants, one of which is a canning plant. In 1981, we had approximately 12 to 15 commercial vessels that wintered and were all the time in Port Valdez. We now have approximately 35 vessels, most of which were vessels that went outside or their owners are outside. They now winter them in Valdez. The Valdez fishermen used to have to order their supplies or fishing supplies out of the city of Cordova. As of today, we have 2 very well-stocked marine supply stores. Part of the historic lack of processing in Port Valdez was due to a presumption that a processor could not survive in Valdez. In 1981, the city funded a study to the tune of $250,000 to look at the economic feasibility of a seafood processing in Port Valdez. That study has since been used to encourage the construction of seafood processing plants in our community. Further use of the city's tax base for fisheries enhancement has included an extensive study and rehabilitation of Robe Lake, our only freshwater body of water in the Valdez area. The lake has been suffering from low winter dissolved oxygen and weed encroachment. Subsequently, the area's premier coho habitat was in jeopardy. In 1980 through 81, the city financed an extensive species inventory and water chemistry analysis. The conclusion of this work has resulted in the city purchasing and Valdez Fisheries Development operating a weed removal system, which has resulted in improved winter rearing conditions for salmon and a higher recreational use of the lake. Further city revenues have been used to plant king salmon, a species which has heretofore not been in the port, and further to feed the coho smolt at the Valdez or at Solomon Gulch Hatchery. The results of this effort will be told in the upcoming Silver Salmon Derby. The hatchery is expecting a six-fold increase in the abundance of coho salmon in 1989. The ramifications of this investment on sports fisheries and tourism in the tourism industry is expected to create long-term tourist draw to the city of Valdez. Other contributions to long-term sports fisheries and tourism has been made in the sanitation facilities where the sport fishermen fish on Allison Point and the sport fishermen's pier here on this side of the bay. In conclusion, Valdez Fisheries Development Association has worked with the city to ensure that when the oil ceases to flow down the Trans-Alaska pipeline, the city of Valdez will not have to board the last ship and leave with the last of the oil. We feel that it is incumbent upon those who have resided and will reside to see their children and their children's children reside in Alaska to make sure that they have an economic base from which to make a living. Without careful investment of the tax of oil, the oil tax revenues by those with an outlook toward the future, all of the work of Valdez Fisheries Development Association will have been for naught. If the present tax structure as is proposed is passed through and the processors in Valdez are subject to a 30 mil tax increase, it will spell the end of seafood processing in our community. This holds true for all other economic development that is aimed at our community. Thank you.
Anyone want to ask any questions? Thank you, Mr. Wells.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could I get a copy of your...
If you can read it.
That's okay, Jay. I was going to ask Pat the same thing, if it was in any kind of a form that we could... Thank you.
All right, Mr. Mitchell?
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Vince Mitchell, Board of Directors of the Valdez and Convention Visitors Bureau, and I also own and operate a charter boat out of the Valdez area. The Convention and Visitors Bureau was incorporated in 1983, and we are charged with encouraging and promoting tourism-related activities, business meetings, conventions, along with general travel to and through the city of Valdez. Once we get a visitor into the Valdez area, we continue our interest with the visitor, coordinating such things as services and information for the visitor once they are here. We also do the coordination of advertising and marketing, both in the visitor and convention industries. Many of our small businesses in town cannot afford to advertise and market on the scale that the Bureau can, and for a number of our very small businesses, the Bureau is the only source of their advertisement and marketing. I'd like to touch on a few specific areas, and these are areas of major emphasis for the Bureau. And the first would be our trade shows and mall campaigns. We attend numerous trade shows and mall campaigns with emphasis within the state of Alaska and also a few outside trade shows. And we feel this gives us invaluable exposure and gives us a chance to put a personal touch on our community and the attractions that it offers. We also host a number of familiarization trips, and we feature travel writers, travel agents, media people, and summer workers within the industry. And through these FAM trips, we are able to give them a first-hand look of what our city has to offer. For our own local residents and members, we give frequent educational seminars on various topics that are related to the tourism industry. We also act as the marketing arm for our conventions, and we actively solicit group meetings and conventions through ad placements, personal contacts, sales calls, and the presentation of convention bids. And once we are able to host meetings and conventions within the city through the Civic Center, we provide services and information to these groups. We also operate and maintain the Visitor Information Center, and this is mainly operated throughout the summer months, but it is also available through the winter and on the shoulder month seasons. And the Visitor Information Center is kind of the jewel of our summer attractions, and we provide a wide variety of informational and educational services to the visitor. And this attraction has been very well received by all, and we run over 20,000 people through our Visitor Information Center each summer. One area of emphasis is our cruise ships, and we actively solicit and encourage cruise ship port calls. And our first cruise ship port call was nearly 10 years ago, and since then the number of port calls has increased to nearly 50. And the Bureau acts on the city's behalf, and we personally greet each cruise ship and make necessary arrangements when necessary. The promotion of the cruise ship market is very important to us, and we estimate that cruise ship visitors will spend an estimated $1 million in Valdez throughout the course of the summer. So those are kind of our areas of major emphasis, and you can see that we are very diverse. We also are involved in numerous other projects and programs that are smaller in nature, and those would be too numerous for me to elaborate here. I'd like to take a minute to speak concerning our funding. And the funding for the Bureau comes in a number of areas, the first being the bed tax. The bed tax was enacted with an ordinance by the city, realizing the need to continuously fund the visitor industry. And this is a 6% tax, and this generates roughly 50% of our operating budget. Another 10% of our funding is derived from membership dues, fundraising we do through our Visitor Information Center, and any grants we're able to obtain. And the remainder of our budget, or roughly 40%, is derived from funds that are appropriated from the City of Valdez. I feel that few of our programs could exist without the help and support of the City of Valdez. In addition to the funding, the City gives the Bureau support ranging from capital projects such as construction and maintenance of our docking facilities, Civic Center, and support to the Valdez fisheries, to small things such as providing us with storage space and manpower as we require it. The list is endless when talking about the services and support the City provides the Bureau. The City has been very attentive to the special requirements and needs of the visitor industry. Tourism is a very clean and renewable resource, and it is an area where there is an unlimited potential for growth. We would like the City to be able to utilize its entire tax base to be able to fund organizations such as the Valdez Convention and Visitors Bureau. Without the funding and support from the City, we would be forced to drastically reduce our programs and thus realize a real decline in the number of visitors to our city. And this would cause a tremendous ripple through the entire Valdez economy. I feel we run a first-class operation, and we would like to continue to do so in the future, but we are going to require funding to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone want to ask any questions? Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Mr. Holtz? Dennis Holtz, is he here?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
My name is David Hammack, and I want to thank the committee for taking the time to come to Valdez and listen to us. Most Alaskans date their tenure in this state by what disaster, man-made or natural, we arrived here in time for. I've been here since the Fairbanks flood and received my education at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Juneau Douglas Community College, Anchorage Community College, UAA, and I anticipate continuing my education at University of Alaska Southeast in the near future. Valdez is a small town, and anyone who is involved in the community often wears several hats, and I have several hats tonight I'll wear as I speak. Starting as manager of KCHU, the public radio station in Valdez, tonight's meeting is being broadcast in Valdez through the facilities of KCHU. It is also being broadcast tonight in Barrow through the facilities of KBRW, a station I've also been privileged to manage in years past. In both these communities, the public radio station is largely funded and supported by state government dollars. But in both communities, the city government here in Valdez, the borough government in the North Slope Borough, has made generous contributions, often in terms of in-kind services, often in terms of direct support, to provide locally based community public broadcasting. In both Barrow and Valdez, I've had the privilege of starting the first regular broadcast news heard in those communities at KBRW in Barrow in 1983 and in Valdez over the last 2.5 years at KCHU. In Alaska, the public media in the rural parts of the state have often been the only media with the adequate support to provide community-based broadcasting. In Valdez, we do enjoy the services of another station, a commercial station, and they provide a variety that residents in many bush communities don't enjoy. But any small market has the limitations of the income of the station. In Alaska, the public stations are there to provide information from and about the community. The commercial broadcasters provide a valuable service in bringing the world to the community, but are limited in their ability to generate revenue in small markets. Public broadcasting fills this need. In both Valdez and Barrow, the local governments play an important role in keeping that service available, alive, and pertinent. The other hat I'm wearing tonight is as the chairman of the Economic Development Committee, which is a group organized under the auspices of the Valdez Chamber of Commerce and funded by the City Council. The Chamber of Commerce, the city, its marketing effort, the EDC, the Economic Development Committee, all work toward the goal of broadening the base of the economy in Valdez, the long-term goal to make us less dependent on one taxpayer to maintain the city's revenues. And I will say that our committee is a fairly new institution in the community, and long before it was organized, this community, its city government, has worked diligently to attempt to diversify, despite occasional and often impassioned protest by those very people whose economy we're trying to diversify. There has been a sustained commitment to broadening the base, to attracting different types of industries. We've heard tonight about the revitalization of the fishing industry and the transportation industry that was destroyed by the earthquake, the development or redevelopment of a tourism industry. These are all efforts that have gone forward in no small part due to support by the city government. The Economic Development Committee is a very small organization, and we're staffed essentially to handle information requests, information queries, and bring people together. We do have a marketing office that has a great number of contacts with Asian firms, investors, firms in the lower 48 who want to do business in Alaska. We try to provide the local connection between people in this community who may have a desire to become involved in a project or have the property or have the idea or sometimes the capital but need additional muscle. We're just starting. Our efforts are funded at this point solely by the City Council's grants out of the city's revenue base. I think that the commitment the city has made over the years and maintained speaks well for the community. In the recent Korean-Alaska trade show, which was a statewide venture in Alaska, I dare say that the Valdez booth and delegation will be remembered by Koreans long after the rest of the Alaska show is forgotten. We've been there before. The city has maintained a presence in attempting to open the Asian Rim, the Pacific Rim markets for years. We feel like the recent, when we heard Governor Cooper's inaugural address 2 years ago, it was like a litany of campaign speeches we've heard in Valdez for years. We've been looking toward for the future of the Pacific Rim and Alaska's place in it, and we need, I feel, the continued ability to maintain that presence if we're ever to cash in on the efforts that we've made to date. Finally, speaking just as an Alaskan, not a long-term Valdezian, I've been here a little over 3 years, but my first trip to Valdez on a family picnic was in 1969, and I've worked in and out of the community and tourism and over the years. I've seen Valdez grow since, I was here after the earthquake, but I've watched it grow since the rebuilding, and I certainly saw it before and after the pipeline boom. But as an Alaskan, living in Valdez now, facing the questions that we're being hit with regarding the ability of the city to tax the properties within its boundaries, if I can be allowed to digress for a moment, I'm reminded of another revenue battle the state is embroiled in. As part of the Statehood Act, the state of Alaska was given an enormous amount of land, almost a third of the state. The state was also granted by the federal government an unprecedented split in the royalty income from federal lands, a 90% to 10% split. This was done to compensate for the state for the fact that it would not be included in some programs that were available for federal funding, massive capital programs in the contiguous 48 states. Alaska was given a 90% share in order to allow the state, when minerals were discovered, when they were exploited, to have the resources to develop an infrastructure. Now, the federal government is short on cash. We have unprecedented deficits and a huge national debt. And we find that our share of the resource wealth of Alaska is under serious challenge in Congress. The Congress doesn't want to give us 90% of the oil royalties in Anwar on the offshore drilling that's being considered around the state. The wealth of Alaska, we are told, is a national treasure, and Alaska's tiny population can't expect to enjoy such a disproportionate amount of the nation's wealth. Now, this seems to me to be the same principle at work when the state of Alaska says there aren't enough Valdezians, there aren't enough people in the North Slope borough to enjoy such a tremendous share of the property tax value of the resource development properties within our boundaries. It would seem to me that the state would be undermining its own claim to its own royalty share by pursuing what we feel is our fair share of the wealth that lies taxable within our own boundaries and our communities. The technical discussion of the matters that are before this committee and the legislature are best left to the experts. I'm sure you've heard from the city administrators about the specific recommendations the city has. The Valdez Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Committee wholeheartedly supports the city's position and our claim to what we feel is only a fair share for those of us who live here and who work here and make our homes here. As a final point, I would make that I can't imagine no more dramatic demonstration of the hazard with which we live in a resource development community than we have seen played out in the last 22 days. We enjoy a tremendous lifestyle in Valdez. We have an economy that is based on the transportation of oil, and I think, unbeknownst to many, on a human services industry. nearly 20% of Valdez's workers are employed in oil transportation. 40-some percent are in the public sector, and many of those are in human services industries. Harborview, the Center for the Developmentally Disabled in Valdez. The city has a community college with an emphasis on vocational training. Both the transportation of petroleum, as we've been reminded, and the human services industry require people who are trained and skilled and competent. And we feel that we need to offer a community environment that will attract people who will stay here, who will learn the community, learn the hazards in the oil industry, learn to care and nurture the people who are at Harborview, and to help provide a stable workforce for these industries, and to provide the kind of environments and facilities necessary to rehabilitate our fisheries and tourism industries. We need the revenue stream. And every city in Alaska has a Bridge to Nowhere, or a Performing Arts Center, or a grain terminal. And we have ours, certainly. But I think if you look and assess, look at the concrete we've poured, look at the programs we've begun, by and large, they work together to make this a community that can attract the kind of dedicated professionals we need in our industries, and we need to come for future industries. So I think that the community is certainly justified in its statement and its stand on the taxation issues that are before this committee and will be before the legislature. And I would again just summarize by saying, if Valdez is too small a community to enjoy this much revenue, then what claim does the state have to its share of the royalty wealth when the national government comes hat in hand wanting our wealth? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Hill? Mm-hmm. Not here. Sally McAdoo?
Good evening. I think I need a glass of water before I start.
Is there an extra cup around?
Correct.
Okay.
David, do you have a copy of that?
I do extra four. I have an outline.
I hope you have a good recording of it. Yes, Sally.
My name is Sally McAdoo, and I serve on the City Council in Valdez. I'm also the director at the Senior Center, and I would like to welcome the committee to Valdez. It's certainly a pleasure to have you here, and I had the opportunity to be in Barrow with you and enjoy the real on-site viewing of a small village and certainly the Wainwright dancers and the facilities in Barrow. And so it's been a pleasure to have you come into Valdez now and see us at the other end of the pipeline. I believe that we in Valdez and also the people of the North Slope Borough are fortunate to have you. I believe that I agree with many of the questions that have been raised. We've heard a lot of testimony in Barrow. We've heard a lot of testimony this evening from the citizens of Valdez. When we were in Barrow, I witnessed the development of schools and public health facilities and community centers and the development of in a harsh climate, and I was impressed. And then today, as we took the tour to Alyeska, and then certainly when you finish the tour to the facilities in Valdez, the comparison, I'm sure, is quite a bit different. But there's a lot of things that you didn't see today when you went on the tour. You didn't see the funding that is made available to the daycare programs in Valdez or the Special Olympic programs. And I think that those type of things that are in the background are also the human services that have been referred to this evening. That's important. That makes our city so well-rounded. Throughout all the hearings, I keep on hearing one word, and that's been stability. And that's something that we have not seen in Valdez, and that's something that we're striving for and that we hope that the committee will be able to see through. Serving on the council and serving all the people and trying to sort out the needs and be fair, it's very difficult when the council realizes that there's so much in jeopardy, that what we do and the direction we take for the future may be in jeopardy, and certainly that jeopardy goes on to the community. It goes to the, it affects the growth of businesses and it affects the growth of the economy. I think that Valdez has strived for diversification, for human services, and I believe that the tax base has been enjoyed by the citizens as a whole for these services. I know you have a great challenge ahead of you. When all this is over and all the booklets and all the speeches and all the review is there, and I hope that you're able to come up to a decision that we at, in Valdez and certainly in the North Slope Borough will be able to go back to our citizenry and say we now have the stability that we need in order to maintain our communities. And I thank you again for being in Valdez, and I'll see you in Anchorage and hopefully in Juneau. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Neither Mr. Hiller nor Mr. Holtz have come in.
Yes. You could take a break for a few minutes and then provide them the time to kind of catch up with the schedule so maybe they'd show.
Sorry, we'll recess for about 15 minutes.
The committee is taking a 15-minute recess. We'll go back to the KCEQ studios until the committee resumes deliberations here in the Valley.
My name is Bob Keller. I'm a city councilman, vice president of the Valley's Fishery Development Association. I work for Alyeska and a commercial fish in the summer times. Try to keep myself a little bit active. I guess the thing that I have anything to put in is the stability of what you do with a town that has unstable things happen to it. We definitely need to see our taxes stay at a stable rate and be able to understand next year and the coming years. I believe that's some of the importance of the knee-jerking things that happen in throughout the state is because we have those problems of our blooming tax or be able to have something to tax an industry to work with. And if that is not an important part of any country, state, or city, then I guess the reason that Indonesia hasn't got all the oil producers in that country is because we are stable in our thinking. I hope that that will drip down to the cities as well. I go back and the thought is, he's 21 years old, I think now, my grandson. 21 years ago, my son had a wreck at 8 Mile. He severed his spinal cord the third down. At that time, there was no doctors in town. So we had one police officer. It was at 8 Mile, which was out of the city limits. So the only ambulance that could come and pick up my son was from Glen Allen. Well, that wasn't very logical. The head nurse, Mrs. Redding, you remember her, Marty, and the police officer, Pat O'Brien, good Irish police officer, said, that, no, this isn't working. We called for the airplane. We loaded him into the... that time was our patrol car and our ambulance, and took him to town to the hospital. We have three doctors in town now. We have a dentist. These are the things that makes people want to stay and live in a town with that kind of operation. Those are subsidized a great deal by the city tax. I believe that is the kind of thing that we see the changes as will not be here if this continues this kind of action. I can remember when this was coming about in the oil, and we were told 450 jobs. Well, that takes sewer and water, so we built sewer and water. 450 jobs, that's a lot of children, so we built schools. We got 150 jobs out of it. So you see, out of that was another little problem that we absorbed it and went on with it. And as you probably heard all day today, off and on at the taps. Well, we buckled our knees a little bit, but we stood up and, okay, we'll figure it out. We redid some bonds and we got ourselves down. And remember, this was not all for Valdez. We built a great deal for the state of Alaska. So I guess if on any note at all is that when the time I got here in 64 to now, it's been not a very boring town. It's been very active, things happening, and it's been nothing but trying to go ahead. And I guess I'll just leave you with that thought. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak before the committee? Is there anyone else who would like to speak before the committee at this time? Any other council member? Well, we get down into what they have down here as the wrap-up and the recommendations from Bill Walker.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Walker. I'm the city attorney for Valdez. I'm a lifelong Alaskan graduate. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bill Walker. I'm the city attorney for Valdez. I'm a lifelong Alaskan graduate.